When I was a boy, I used to collect these things that were called matchbox cars. Maybe some of you remember that, or maybe it certainly dates me by admitting that. But nonetheless, I had this collection of these cars that were replicas, scale models of the real cars, and then they expanded their line into other things like utility trucks and other things like that. So you could have this whole virtual mechanical city of the vehicles of a city. And I had extended my collection somewhat to a degree that whenever I would discover that a store had a new car, I was thrilled, especially if I had birthday money in my pocket and I could buy that new car and expand my collection. But occasionally, I'd be forced to make a choice, an unpleasant choice, because I would come to that store and I would find that they had not just one new car in the line, but several new cars in the line. And I'd have to make that agonizing decision to pick just one. If only the hard decisions in life were as easy as which matchbox car to buy. We all know the reality is we grow up and we discover that life is filled with difficult choices. And many times we must choose in life between this and that, between one thing and another. But what we recognize this morning in the gospel text is the paralytic did not have to make a choice between two things. He got two things out of the deal, out of Christ's encounter with him. He received the forgiveness of his sins and the healing of his body. He didn't need to choose between one or the other. He got both. Certainly, this is often a passage that produces confusion for some people. Perhaps not everyone. Some of you might perceive this passage with crystal clarity. But for the sake of those of you who may have questions about this passage, I think we need to spend a few moments here. It's always important for us to understand the context in which Jesus spoke and lived and worked. We have to understand what Jesus was doing and saying in his day in order for us to truly, adequately, and accurately apply it to our lives today. So Jesus greets this paralytic with the words, "Your sins are forgiven." And when you read the text, it is somewhat puzzling. I mean, why would Jesus begin here of all places? Can't Jesus see what is plainly obvious to everyone else, that this man is paralyzed? He doesn't come in some demonstration of repentance. He doesn't come asking for forgiveness. Why does Jesus bring up the subject of the forgiveness of sins? I think there's two important things we have to see here. First, Jesus sees not only what is obvious, but Jesus also sees what is not obvious to us. Jesus always begins with what is most important. So Jesus, first of all, begins here because obviously he sees his paralysis, but he also sees something deep in his own heart. He sees into the man's soul, and he affirms that some things are more important than the body. He begins here because he's affirming that truth, affirming that the spiritual condition is in fact what is most important and what must be focused upon first and foremost. But secondly, Christ begins here with the forgiveness of sins because of the prevailing mindset of his day. In first century Palestine, it was presumed that physical ailments, that physical conditions, sickness, suffering, all these things were the result of an individual's personal sin. In other words, it was divine retribution on that person, and they deserved it. And that was the attitude. They deserved it. They had it coming. The righteous don't suffer from such ailments. It's only the unrighteous sinners who are paralyzed, who are blind, deaf, who contract leprosy and the like. And the list goes on and on. That was the prevailing mindset. We need to truly read between the lines here a bit. It's not explicitly stated here, but as we understand that that was the mindset, we have to recognize that this man undoubtedly in his life experienced discrimination, experienced ridicule, experienced being called names, not just sinner, but a whole variety of names and variations of that name. And Christ begins here with the forgiveness of sin because Christ wanted to first free him from the guilt and the condemnation that had been heaped upon him throughout life. So Christ began, and take note to the very first words that Christ says. He says, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." See, Christ understood the soul of this man. He understood what he had been through. He understood the weight, the heavy weight that he was carrying. It was a big deal to the paralytic. And he needed to hear that his sins were forgiven. So Jesus begins there, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." And there's an immediate critical reaction to Christ's words. After all, who is he to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. So Jesus is accused of blasphemy because he has forgiven the man's sins. And if you look carefully, Christ doesn't answer the charge directly. He doesn't get into an argument over whether this was blasphemy or not. He simply answered the charge with a question. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? I think perhaps the greatest confusion over this passage of Scripture comes from this very question. And I think it's because we're not exactly sure how to answer the question that Jesus poses to us. So we find the passage troubling and difficult to understand because we're not sure what the answer is. What's the correct answer here? But indeed, we can consider it from different viewpoints and different vantage points. The answer kind of depends on the vantage point that you look from. From the divine perspective, we've already established, forgiveness of sins is the more important thing and therefore the more difficult thing. From the human perspective, perhaps walking is the more difficult thing because, after all, this concept of forgiveness of sins might be beyond the realm of human ability. It's God's prerogative to forgive sins. But certainly, human beings can say those words, can't they? So from a human point of view, the more difficult thing is to say rise and walk because it's demonstrated whether the person is speaking the truth or not. So remember, from a human perspective, anyone could say the words, your sins are forgiven. An insane person could say, your sins are forgiven. A liar could say, your sins are forgiven. How can it be proven? How do we really know that our sins are forgiven? So that's why Jesus is posing this question. Remember their perspective. Remember the prevailing mindset of the day. Ailments are the result of personal sin. So thereby, what does it mean if somebody is in fact healed? It means that the inverse is also true, that in fact their sins are forgiven, that God is forgiven. It was also the presumption that God would never heal a person that he doesn't forgive. So the simple act of healing is a confirmation that the person has been forgiven. And thus, when we understand these things and we put them together, we understand Jesus' question here. It's really establishing where he's going, and he's establishing his own authority to forgive sins and to tell the man to rise and walk, which he does. He says, rise and walk. The man does just that. And by so doing, it demonstrates the reality that his sins are forgiven. It demonstrates that Christ speaks with authority, that Christ's words are not empty words, but in fact, Christ's words are true and powerful. Thus, the last verse of our gospel text today tells us, when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. See, they start to understand this authority to speak to the paralytic and him rise, this authority to forgive sins. It's been given to this man, Jesus. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, has the authority to forgive sins. This man, Jesus, has the authority to heal even those who are paralyzed. It's this very point that is not just for Christ's day, but is in fact very relevant to our day. It applies to us in our lives, living in 2011 in San Jose. This is true for us in our day as well. Christ does not speak empty words. He does not speak idle words. Christ speaks and acts with authority. This same Jesus that we read about in the gospel is our Lord, God, and Savior. This same man, Jesus, whom we see in the gospel text, who we hear his words, he has the authority to forgive sins, to forgive our sins. This same man, Jesus, our incarnate master, has the authority to raise us up from whatever condition we find ourselves. See, Christ has the authority to forgive sins, to forgive my sins. In reality, Christ has already forgiven our sins on the cross. Just like the paralytic, we too need to leave behind the messages of guilt and condemnation. In fact, guilt and condemnation, they have no place in the Christian's life. The Holy Spirit doesn't make us feel guilty. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And those are two radically different ideas. Guilt is a human condition. It's part of the fallen human condition. Conviction is a divine act of the Holy Spirit working in our life and leading us to repentance with the hope of what repentance brings to us. Guilt and condemnation should not be part of our life, and we should not succumb to the guilt and the condemnation that the enemy of our soul so often heaps upon us, and sometimes people in our lives heap upon us. We know that experience ourselves, just like the paralytic knew that experience. We know that experience ourselves. We need to recognize very clearly Christ said in the Gospel of John, he did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. Condemnation, guilt, these are not the messages that Christ came to bring. In a very real sense, Christ says the same thing to us that he said to the paralytic. Take heart, your sins are forgiven. But wait, there's more. It's like the infomercial, right? But wait, there's more. There's a bonus here in the gospel text. Christ has the authority to raise us up as well. We may not be physically paralyzed, but we all have some level of inadequacy, some level of baggage, some paralysis that we're experiencing. We all have our stuff, our brokenness that we have to work through. And these things keep us from being the person that God has called us to be, to walk the life that God has truly called us to walk. And Christ has the authority to raise us up from this as well, to raise us up out of it so we're no longer defined by it. We need not remain stuck in the baggage of our brokenness, of our hurt, of whatever has happened in our past. Christ raises us. He shows us that his grace is more powerful than our affliction. He shows us that truly God's grace is infinitely more powerful than our brokenness. The same grace that was extended to the paralytic is extended to us. The glorious thing is we don't have to choose between one or the other. Christ extends grace to us to forgive our sins. And Christ extends grace to us to raise us up from whatever holds us down. The same Jesus that we read about has the authority to forgive sins, to forgive our sins. And this same Jesus has the authority to raise us up from our state. And this same Jesus extends the same gracious words to us. Take heart, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.